Turning your Bibles to John chapter 14, and as you're turning, let me begin by saying the crown jewels of the United Kingdom are 142 royal objects kept in the Tower of London, and they include the regalia and vestments worn by British kings and queens at their coronation. Most of the present collection dates from around 350 years ago when Charles II ascended the throne. Most prior regalia was sold or melted down after the monarchy was abolished in 1649 during the English Civil War. Now, the crown jewels include 23,578 stones. Among them, the largest clear-cut diamond in the world at 530 carats. That is a diamond you can actually see. Now, at a coronation, the monarch is invested with robes and ornaments and crowned with what is known as St. Edward's crown. And also you can see his orb, the sovereign's scepters, and ring. Now, all the crown jewels are passed, as you would probably understand, from one sovereign to the next. And when not in use, the jewels are on public display and seen by over 2 million people annually. Now, the British monarchy has its crown jewels, but I'd like us to think today about crown jewels in the spiritual realm, the crown jewels of heaven. And these heavenly treasures far, far outweigh the value of all the jewels on earth combined. Now, obviously, there will be literal riches and jewels in heaven. We talk about the streets of gold. We talk about gates of pearls. But I want us to realize that the wonderful spiritual jewels, which will never be melted down or sold or passed on to someone else, are for those of us who have been Christ forgiven and redeemed. We will be the recipients of heaven's crown jewels. And they are free to us. They are not something that we have to go out and buy or purchase. Christ will bestow these crown jewels upon us. Now, what about this place called heaven? What are its excellencies? What are these eternal jewels that will someday be ours? Heaven is a purchased possession, meaning Christ's blood shed on Calvary bought heaven for you and for me, which means Christ gave his life to acquire heaven. Now, what was involved in Jesus giving his life? Well, Christ stripped himself of his own majestic glory. He made himself of no reputation. You know, we talk about the kings and the queens of England. They put on their vesture. They put on their regalia. They wore their crowns. They held their scepters. Their hands were graced with these rings. But what did Christ do? He stripped himself. He laid aside all of that. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He put on our humble garment of flesh. And then he became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, so that he might put on us his robe of righteousness. And in so doing, Jesus saved us, not from cruel injustice, but from deserved wrath and condemnation. So again, the price of our redemption, the purchase price of our heavenly home, the precious blood of Christ, which means it costs God his very life. Friends, heaven is costly. The crown jewels of heaven are costly because it cost God his life. Such an infinite payment could only be made by love, by great love, by the greatest of love. Remember, Christ himself said, greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I say with the hymn writer, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, how he loves you and me. Love lifted me. I say heaven must be some amazing place since it cost Jesus his very life. Which brings us to heaven's second crown jewel. Because it costs Christ everything, heaven costs us nothing. It's free to us. And I say that is amazing, incredible, it's wonderful. Now, obviously, you and I can't say that about our earthly homes. I mean, the homes we live in are quite costly when you think about all the taxes and insurance and mortgage payments and upkeep and repairs that are required. I mean, my wife, it's not usually an extensive list, but she has a list of things that need to be worked on around the house. I can mow the grass and I can push a vacuum cleaner, but I'm not real handy with tools. And so there's some frustration sometimes, you know, that my wife has with me. But when you have these repairs or improvements, you're always talking about some cost, amen? Some cost. But again, our eternal heavenly home has already been totally bought and paid for. All of its expenses, past, present, and future, have already been satisfied, paid in full. You know, when you get the mail, sometimes you wonder, how many bills will I get today? I can tell you, one day we'll never get a bill again. Can never be any eviction notice placed on heaven's, our heavenly front door. Now let's understand that even though heaven is a free gift to believers, we certainly don't deserve it. Honestly, even when we're all dressed up for church or a wedding, we've got our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. I mean, we are still so totally unworthy of such a gift of love. I mean, after all, our sins nailed Jesus to the cross. And so how sin-diseased and despised and wretched we truly are. And I'm saying that of me. I think I could say that of you. I mean, remember, in our flesh dwells no good thing. And yet God, in his gracious love and mercy, has provided the unworthy something so wonderful. Again, without money, without price. I say, what an astonishing display of love, of goodwill toward man. And what a confounding thought to comprehend the unmeasurable difference between our deservings and our receivings. Between the home we deserve and the home we don't deserve. Deserved is written over the door of hell, for the wages of sin is death. But grace and love and mercy are written over the door of heaven, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Peter adds, of this home our inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you and for me. You know, if you have a home and it's your home, there's always the upkeep. There's always maintenance. There's always painting. There's always mildew. I mean, there's just always something to take care of. It's always fading away. You got to replace this and replace that. But our heavenly home fadeth not away. Heaven cost Jesus' life. Heaven costs us nothing. Friends, that's love. Don't ever get over that love. Don't ever let that love be something you take for granted. Only God's love could be so graciously giving. And then the third jewel in heaven's crown is the amazing fellowship we will enjoy there, first with Christ and then with the saints. I mean, let's talk first about our communion with the Lord Jesus. Presently, Jesus' presence, his company, his friendship passes through an unclean channel. Our mortal bodies, which are bent to pride and selfishness and self-will. For how often we yield to the sinful attitudes and actions of our flesh. And how that hinders, how that affects our communion, our fellowship with Jesus. And yet by God's grace, as we reckon ourselves dead to sin, there is joy in this imperfect reception of our Savior. And how special that is. But in heaven, true fullness of joy will be found in the very company, the face-to-face communion with our Lord. And there we shall have an enlightened understanding of God and his words of life. There the Lord will perfect his truth in our hearts, meaning we will then immaculately experience the glorious wonderfulness of the Lord Jesus. The joy we receive now draws from the promises of God laid hold upon us by faith, and how weak our faith often is. But in heaven, our faith will become sight, so we will enjoy fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore as we fully delight in the one who loved us and gave us the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I mean, if you can imagine how sweet it is to come into the presence of Jesus, even now as we're gathered here this morning, it's wonderful. I mean, I was looking forward to this. Honestly, I was looking forward to seeing y'all. And together, I knew we would worship and serve and love and adore our Savior. But we're still so imperfect. You know what? I get in the way. But one day, the way will be perfectly clear and clean and holy and totally fulfilling when we see Jesus face to face. Living in our Father's house will provide us perfect communion with our Savior, which means our souls will indeed be at peaceful rest. And we will truly be able to say, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior, happy and blessed, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Wow. If you think about it, your most precious moments of life are when you are in communion with Jesus. Now you think about that. Your most precious moments of life are when you are in communion with Jesus. When you know your sins are forgiven, your sins are confessed, you're still imperfect, but you're seeking to walk in newness of life. That moment is really indescribable. Friends, that is the moment we will experience forever. That is amazing. And then regarding the fellowship of the saints, heaven will be populated by those who down here have prayed, have fasted, wept, watched, waited together. but in heaven we'll joy and rejoice and praise the Lamb together. Here we have been together in labor and duty and danger and distress. And the reason I say that is because it takes away from our fellowship. You know, if you have in your heart and on your mind these worries and these concerns and these difficulties, and when you go home, you know this is what you will face. I mean, it affects how we interact with one another. I can talk to someone and know if something's on their heart. And for most of us, most of the time, there's something heavy on our hearts. And it affects how we interact with one another. How many of you would agree? And that's how it is down here. But up there, we will experience deliverance and reward. Here we have been scorned and despised, but there we shall be crowned and honored. Here we have gone through the days of sadness, but there we will experience forever the joy of gladness. Here we have been in the prison of persecution, but there we shall bask in the palace of consolation. And so what bliss that will be when together our tears and prayers will give way to communal joy and rejoicing. Now it is true that Jesus' presence makes heaven, heaven. But let me say the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ and how important it is will be an added sweet and harmonious occurrence. And today is a foretaste of this glory divine. Isn't it good to be back together with God's people? It's so good. This is how Jesus has designed it. The word ecclesia means the assembly, the gathering of God's people. That's what the church is called. So how wonderful to know that we can experience this today, but one day we will experience it forever. Now the question that is always asked is, will we know each other in heaven? And the answer, I truly believe, is yes, we will. And we will know each other not so much by our physical looks and traits and abilities, not by titles of honor or worldly dignity, not by relationships, youth or age. Well, what age will I be in heaven? Who knows? But we will be known by the image of Christ. For when we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the mark of Christ that will then be evidenced is our spiritual walk now, our faithfulness to Christ now, in faithfully using the gifts and the talents he has given us. And so again, what a full and absolute and inclusive heavenly reunion that will be. Here we rejoice in one another's justification. There we'll rejoice in one another's glorification. For remember, whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. Here we have the title Christian and the earnest of the Spirit, but there it will be glory for you and for me. Now, if it be happiness to live in worship with saints that are in perfection while we have a sin nature that embitters our soul, what will it be like to dwell with the saints in our perfection when we truly and wholly will be saints? There we will be fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, saying together with one heart and one voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He has made all of this possible to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Again, what amazing fellowship will grace the mansions of heaven, first with our Savior and then with his sinless saints. And then the fourth jewel in heaven's crown is the perfection of heaven. And the reason heaven will be perfect is because sin will forever be removed. You know what sin does is it mars and it messes up everything. You know what sin does? It makes us frustrated. You know, I think for all of us, now there are degrees, but for all of us there's a sense of perfection, a desire for perfection. What I'm saying is there's a sense of perfection. We want it to be done right. Amen? You know, if you're going to do a job, you do it right. Do it to the best of your ability. But you know what's frustrating? You step back and you look at it and you realize it's not perfect. It's not perfect. You know, maybe you paint a wall. Oh, I missed a spot. Or there's a nail hole that I didn't fill in. I mean, there's always something wrong. Would you not agree? That's life here. But can I tell you, one day there will never be any more frustrations. Never again. Revelation 21:27 states, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or evil or maketh a lie." The citizens of heaven will be blood washed, which means we will be presented to the Father as not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we will be perfectly holy and without blemish. Perfectly holy and without blemish. I mean, think of how we frustrate one another. We live with imperfect people. We will be made perfect without blemish. No longer will we have to reckon ourselves dead to sin. No longer will sin reign in our mortal bodies. The world will truly be crucified unto us and we unto the world. Satan will no longer have to be resisted. The fiery darts of the wicked will fly no more. No longer will we have to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And heaven's sinless perfection will be evidenced in no more spiritual ignorance. No longer will we see Christ and his truth through a glass darkly. Honestly, when we get to glory, there won't be the classification of, are you pre-trib, are you mid-trib, are you post-trib? Are you a Calvinist, are you an Arminian, or are you something in between? There we will have this perfect spiritual understanding and discernment. We'll all have been changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed forever. A friend said to me years ago, when the church is raptured prior to the tribulation, he was pre-trib, I am too, all these man-centered, man-conceived labels and denominational banners that we have raised so high over the years will forever fall away. And I thought, he's right. You know, sometimes, and I mean, if it's clear in Scripture, and it's clear in Scripture for me. Of course, someone else says it's clear in Scripture for them. But how often we make these labels, these banners, our foundation for fellowship. We'll have perfect fellowship in heaven. With one sinless heart, one sanctified voice, we will glorify the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Our understanding shall then be filled with God himself, whose light will leave no darkness at all in us. His face shall be the scripture where we shall clearly behold the truth. No longer will you need me or any teacher or preacher to mature, to help grow your understanding of thus saith the Lord. We will all rightly divide the word of truth. Won't that be a blessed moment? And there will be no cold hearts or backslidings. Our hearts will not be vexed with the presence of corruption, pride, laziness, deception, no more grieving the Holy Spirit or living unholy lives. We shall rest from all these earth-prone ways forever. Then our wills will correspond to the divine will, and his will shall be our love from which we shall never stray again. The perfection of heaven. What a jewel. We will say goodbye to the word frustration forever. Amen. And then one more. Heaven's fifth crown jewel is everything there is eternal. It's forever. Now the thought of leaving such a sweet, glorious, and sinless place at some distant point in time honestly would dampen all its present joys. Something good that has an end has already lost some of its value. Take, for example, camp. Every year, the week I looked forward to most was going to Bible camp. You know, I mean, you'd count down the days. You couldn't sleep well the night before because you were so excited. I'm going to camp. I'm going to have a ball. I'm going to get a girlfriend at camp, amen? And then you'd get on the bus, and you'd head for camp, and the bus would break down. I mean, inevitable, the bus or something would happen, but you finally would get to camp. It would be instant joy and happiness and pleasure and, you know, it would just be something very special. But then you would start to think when Wednesday or Thursday came along, yes, I'm enjoying this now, but I'm going to have to leave it. And you know what that would do, that thought process? It really would kind of dampen. It would really kind of take away from the enjoyment of that present moment. How many of you would agree? This might sound trite, but I enjoy the movie Sound of Music. And you know, at the end, when the Von Trapp family is climbing that mountain and heading away from Austria, and they're singing the Sound of Music, and then you see the end, you kind of have a, oh. It's over. I don't want it to be over. I don't want it to end. I want it to continue. Friends, heaven will never come to an end. It will always continue to be so. I've written here, only when the good is eternal does it have infinite and lasting value. And heaven is forever. I want you to listen to what John says in John chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve or worship him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. and there shall be no night there, and there is no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I see eternity on every single line in Revelation 22. And so I say to my soul, let go of your dreams of present pleasure, loosen your hold of earth and flesh, and do each day's work with eternity in view. When time will be no more, God will both perfect and perpetuate the glory which God gave his Son, which the Son has now given to us. And in that day we will say unto you, Lord, the eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. But you ask, well, Pastor, how can I come to know and experience heaven's crown jewels? The truth that heaven is a purchased place, a purchased possession, that heaven is free to us, it's God's gift to us, that heaven's fellowship is amazingly pure and sweet, that heaven is a sinless place, that heaven is forever, no more partying over there. I think one of the sad things about funerals, and I had one Friday, was as far as this life is concerned, this earthly life will never see that loved one down here again, and we miss them. But there'll be no parting over there. Well, how can we experience, how can we know of heaven's crown jewels? Well, let me turn back to John chapter 14. And Thomas asked this question, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, and let's say it together, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Which means, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, you too will experience heaven's crown jewels forever. Like our gathering here this morning, heaven will be so very wonderful and amazing, but a zillion, zillion, zillion times better. Heaven is a wonderful place. Its crown jewels are out of this world.